And as I'm thinking about primetimers, I was talking about something and something that John Baird and I shared, and it had to do with a date, and the date was October 4th, 1997. And it was a day of that where 1 million men converged on the mall in Washington, D.C. And I was telling John and I was telling the people about how on that day, October 4th, 1997, it was the first time I'd ever been to Washington, D.C. And I was standing right underneath the Washington Monument. And where I was standing underneath that monument, I could look out straight ahead, you know, and through the sea of people, and I could see the White House. And, you know, it was the first time I'd ever seen the White House. And I got to admit, I was, you know, in awe of it. And I could turn around to my back, and I could look, and I could see the Jefferson Memorial, you know, and it was just amazing. And then if I looked up to my right, I could see all the way down to the Capitol building, and the other way, all the way down to the Lincoln Memorial. But what was really amazing about that is from the Capitol steps all the way to the Lincoln Memorial were lined with men. And they called that the Million Man March. Now, I don't know how many were actually there. Some say, you know, there was 1.5 million. Some say there was 500,000. But, you know, the point was there was a lot of men there. I mean, there's a picture of it right there taken from the top of the Washington Monument. And this event, which really was a wonderful event, it changed my life, was put together by Promise Keepers. I don't know how many remember that Promise Keeper movement, but it was an important movement in my life. And this movement was about men that would come together, right, in groups. You know, like I went to several Promise Keeper events at the Pontiac Silverdome. And I know there was some in the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, and they were taking place all over the United States in Rockies Park, you know, in Denver, Colorado, and at the World Arena in Colorado Springs, and in Omaha, Nebraska, and San Diego, California, and Seattle, Washington. But I mean, these events were taking place all over the country where men would come together and pray, where men would come together and pray. See, and this event that I was at in Washington, D.C. was that we would come together. Now, listen to this. Men would come together and converge on the Capitol of the United States of America, not to protest something, but to pray for something, to pray for God's movement over the face of our country. Listen to this. We got together 1 million men to pray for our president. Didn't matter what if he was Democrat or Republican or Tea Party or whatever, but we came together to pray for the president of the United States of America. A novel idea, wasn't it? We came together and prayed for our Congress. We came together to pray for our states. We came together to pray for our cities. You know what else we did? We came together to pray for our churches, and we came together to pray for our families. And the call was made for men to come and lift up this great land and seek God's blessings upon her. Man, I'm praying right now for something like that to happen again, because I don't care what you read in the papers or hear on TV. This is the greatest nation in the land and or in the world, and God has blessed us. And because of the way things are going, we are in danger of losing the blessing that God has given us. Now, this Father's Day sermon, I'm saying, men, let's remember that. Let's take the bull by the horns. And you know what? Let's forget about all the political divergency, and let's just pray for God to move across this great country one more time. Because you are living in the greatest, freest land in the world, no matter what anybody tells you. It is true. I've traveled all over this world. I'm just not preaching this from a bench in Potsdam, New York, but I've been all over the world, and I've seen how other countries treat their people. And you guys are blessed. We are blessed for living here. Man, what a time that was as we got together with men from every corner of this great nation. It was filled with men. You know what we were doing? We were singing praises to God. You know what else we were doing? We were listening to the Word of God preached. And you know what else we were doing? We were praying. And man, that mall, that great mall, was filled with a million men singing praises to God in loud, in strong, and in united voices. And I'll tell you something I'll never forget, when in the middle of some old spiritual, you know, the one that goes, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty," the band quit playing. And the worship leader quit singing. But a million voices of men brought the glory down, singing, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty." And they were doing it in power that I've only dreamt about since. "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. All thy work shall praise thy name on earth and sky and sea. Holy, 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 merciful and mighty, God in three persons, the blessed Trinity." Man, as I look forward to heaven, as I think about my friend Al today, I can only imagine what being in heaven will be like for him, and what being in heaven will like for me on that very day. I look forward to heaven being filled with voices of a million people. Maybe millions of people. And the Bible tells me that it will. Listen to verse 1 of our text today. "After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Hallelujah, salvation and glory and power belong to our God." Man, just like that day on the mall. See, we're going to hear the great voice of a whole lot of people, I'm telling you. Man, I just can't wait about it. You know, in many ways, I'm envious of my friend Al. And I'm thinking today about all of the saints of the ages of the past that will greet Al when he gets there. We'll greet you when you get there. We'll greet myself when we get there. And you know what I was thinking about? One person in the Bible who's really just a footnote, but he's kind of a crazy footnote. You know, I just can't wait to run into this kid named Eutychus. And I want to say to him, you know, what were you thinking, man, when you were sitting up in that window listening to the Apostle Paul preach all night long? I mean, what were you doing? I just want to flat out ask him, you know, what were you thinking? Because he knew that Paul was a preacher, right? And he knew it as a preacher. Paul, just like all of us, loved to just drone on and on and on about the things that we're passionate about, right? And so what in the world was he doing sitting in a window some three stories up? I mean, I just can't figure it out. And I was thinking about the good people here at Potsdam Church of the Nazarene. Man, they're much smarter than the people in Asia. And I'll tell you why. Because you guys, look out that window. You built the sanctuary only a foot off the ground. You knew what these preachers are capable of. And so you made it a short fall. I'm thinking about all of those who have gone before. And I'm thinking about all those who will be taken up alive, that they're going to be there. And you know what's so cool? When we think about heaven, with the promise, that the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ will hold true to us, that the gates of hell would not have prevailed against the church. See, no matter what the world's telling you today, the church isn't dying. The church is prospering. Church is growing. God's still using the church. God's still using the worship. God's still using Sunday school teachers. God's still using the preached word to tell a new generation about the salvation of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is still using you and me to talk about hope to a hopeless world. So I'm telling you, dads, lead the way. Don't give up on telling about the hope that we have in Christ Jesus. Teach your kids young. Teach them through middle school, elementary school, through high school. Continue to teach them into college. And don't just talk about it, but dad, live it out for them. For this is what God has called you and me to do. Because the promise of Jesus Christ is holding true through you, that the gates of hell will never prevail against the church. You see, the great throng of witnesses that we'll see up there in heaven will be living proof that millions have believed in spite of the cost. See, each day, you know, thinking about this lately, we don't really know. We're kind of insulated from it in many ways, living in this land that where we're able to meet in this place, and I'm able to preach about heaven without fear of persecution and retribution, right? But man, this is one of the only places in the world where you can really do that, completely free to do that. I don't know if you know that. You know, Canada just made it illegal now for faith in the public square. And I know that because a Canadian passed that information on to me. But we can do that. We can do it here. But I want you to know that each day in the 21st century, hundreds of saints of the faith are being martyred. Do you know that in the 21st century, more people have been martyred for their faith in the world than the previous 20 before? I don't know if you knew that. But man, people are being martyred for their faith at a record clip. And they join the countless millions that have followed that same path through the long shadow of time, loved ones. Heaven is a place, I want us to really understand this, where there'll be fantastic praising going on. And you know why there'll be all this praise? Do you know that why we're going to be jumping for joy then? I mean, have you ever stopped and thought about it? Why? What will we be? What will drive us? What will we have when we get to heaven that will cause us to jump for joy and cause us to be praising like we've never praised before? Well, the big factor is we will realize that we'll be praising God for a simple reason, simply because of who He is. Our scripture tells us this. After this, I heard what sounded like the roar of a great multitude in heaven shouting, Alleluia! Salvation and glory and power belong to our God. Hallelujah! Can somebody say that with me? Hallelujah! Can somebody say that again? Hallelujah! He is worthy of our praise. Do you believe that today? If you believe that, turn to somebody and say, I believe it. See, that's what hallelujah means. That He is worthy of our praise. I don't know if you knew that or not, but that's what it means. We will be praising God because He is worthy of our praise. Simple as that. See, some of the best things in life are the simplest of things, simply for who He is. And you might have a question today, so I'm going to ask it and I'm going to answer it. Why is God worthy of our praise? Don't just tell me He is worthy, but Pastor, why don't you tell me why God is worthy of our praise? Well, if you're asking that today, I'm going to tell you, because He has provided the most generous gift for you and for me that's ever been conceived, that's ever been given, and that's redemption, that's salvation, loved ones. God is worthy of our praise because he gives freedom, but He gives salvation, but it's not that He just gives the salvation, but that He freely, gives our salvation, really. No strings really attached. You see, he doesn't just do it for a little while, or He just doesn't save us from a few things, but man, when we place our faith in Jesus Christ, He saves us from all times and from all things, even from the pain of death, loved ones. Friends, I know that we were born just sinners, and each and every one of us are. You know, the Bible says all have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. But God, listen to this. God looked down through the ages, right here to this place in Potsdam. And you know what? He saw our sin. I mean, he saw my sin and he saw your sin. And you know what? He looked down through the ages and he saw our depravity. But he looked down through the ages, man, and he loved us anyway. See, he looked down through all those ages and his love reached out to each and every one of us, even though in that state we were bound for hell. But he loved you so much. See, that he sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to live and to die and to raise again as a sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. So, you see, this freely given act of salvation, this selfless act of Christ Jesus, out of that just flows just abundant grace. And by abundant, I mean more than is ever really needed. And it never ends, and it just keeps right on flowing. Abundant grace. And it is grace that makes our salvation possible. See, loved ones, when we reach heaven, we would be praising God for who he is. And he's our salvation. And he's our honor. And he's our glory. Amen? You see, he lifts sinners from their sin and from their shame. And you know what else he does? He gives honor to the dishonorable. Now, I got a little illustration I want to read to you today. And it starts out like this. On September 22nd, 1997, the U.S. Army commissioned West Point's first black cadet 123 years after expelling him, James Webster Smith, a former slave who had entered the U.S. Military Academy in 1870. Now, for the next 4 years, Webster was harassed for the color of his skin. White students refused to talk to him. He was forced to eat by himself, and others poured slop on him. Twice he was court-martialed, and he had to repeat a year. Finally, the academy expelled him after his junior year for failing an exam. Now, Smith died of tuberculosis at the age of 26. That seemingly was a sad and final note for a life scarred by injustice. But 123 years later, the Army endeavored, at least to some degree, to right the wrong. Because he had no known descendants, the commissioning certificate and gold second lieutenant's bar of James Webster Smith were presented to the South Carolina State University. In the end, a courageous man finally received his due. Now, in this world, people who deserve honor may temporarily receive dishonor. But friends, it's only temporary. Eventually, such people, through the power of Jesus Christ, will be vindicated. See, eventually, honor will come. See, sometimes the honor that is deserved comes in this world, but honor always comes in the kingdom of God. That honor, which comes from God, now listen to this, is what really matters, friends. God gives honor to the dishonorable. God shares his glory with the likes of James Webster Smith, and he makes fallen sinners citizens of heaven. Amen? Philippians 3 says this, but there is far more to life for us. We are citizens of high heaven. We're waiting for the arrival of the Savior, the Master, Jesus Christ, who will transform our earthly bodies into glorious bodies like his own. So we will praise him because of his power to save, but we'll also praise him for what he has done. So we have a few verses here, you know, from Revelation, verses, you know, of 19, verses 2, 3, 4, and 5 I'd like to share with you today. And we find this, it says, for true and just are his judgments. He has condemned the great prostitute who has corrupted the earth by her adulteries. He has avenged her on the blood of his servants. And again they shouted, hallelujah. The smoke from here goes up forever and forever. The 24 elders and the four living creatures fell down and worshiped God who was seated at the throne, saying, praise our God, all you servants, you who fear him, both small and great. So I want us to understand today that the Apostle John's vision here is confirming that God always does what is right. I'm going to say that again. See, the Apostle John is confirming that God always does what is right. See, God always does what is right. He doesn't always do what we think is right. But he always does what is right. I'm saying that three times because I don't want you to forget it. Whatever you're going through, whatever it is, I want you to know that God always does what is right. You can always trust God to do what is right in your life. I need you to hang on to that. I need you to grab that and never let go of that. God always does what is right. True and righteous are his judgment. See, the character of God just assures us, loved ones, that he's always going to act justly. You see, the great prostitute here is Rome. And many think that the great prostitute here is the church at Rome. See, God is telling the world that even though things seem to be going pretty well, even though you might be rich beyond compare, the city of Rome, the power of Rome, and many think the church at Rome has sold herself out as a prostitute for fame and for fortune and has denied God. You see, there's this great evil in the world that's taken place, and God is deeply and was and will be deeply troubled by this evil things that he sees. So he's going to do something about it. But you know what? That doesn't have to worry us. That doesn't have to concern us. You see, for you, there's no reason to fear because God is in control. And I want you to understand this, that God has been putting down evil since the fall of man. And you know what? He's been doing a pretty darn good job of it, I might say. This deed is a mighty deed. So mighty that the saints in heaven cannot help but praise God for all the righteous things that he does. Perhaps they were even singing this. Holy, 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 all the saints adore thee, casting down their golden crowns around the glassy sea. Cherubim and seraphim falling down before thee, which word and art and evermore shall be. Man, there's a lot of great old spiritual songs out there that we can sing and read and lift us up even when we're down in the pit. You see, the Bible is telling us that we'll be praising God for who he is and we'll be praising God for what he has done. But the Bible also tells us that we will be praising God for what he is going to do. Verse 6 says, then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like a roar of rushing waters, like loud peals of thunder, shouting, hallelujah, for our God reigns. Hallelujah, our God reigns. See, I was thinking about this, and I was thinking about this verse, I realized that God is omnipotent, all-powerful, and that he reigns over all of creation, and not just for a little while, but he reigns over all of creation from the beginning of time until time draws to a close. This is his time. This is his world. This is his universe. And only he reigns over it all powerfully, all knowingly, sovereignly. His is a kingdom that will last, and it will last, and it will last, and it will never end. And man, as that old song goes, it will never, ever lose its power. It will always be just. It will always show mercy. And it will always extend grace. Grace. Grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace, now listen to this, that is greater than all of our sin. Grace that is greater than all of our sin. Man, what a fantastic proclamation that is. How transformative that is. You see, so powerful is this final hallelujah that all of nature gets into the act. You know, we read about how water rushes forth, how thunder peals, and great multitudes of heavenly hosts shout for all their worth. You see, they're rejoicing because God will carry out his plan for the future. Now, I don't know if you realize this, but the heavens are rejoicing today because God's plan is for you and God's plan is for me. And you know what? There's no jealousy up there in heaven. See, they're happy for God's plan for us down here. See, God has a plan that entails a glorious future for all who come to saving knowledge in Christ Jesus. Friends, God has a plan for you. And he has a plan for your children. And he has a plan for your grandchildren. He has a plan for your spouse. He has a plan for this church. He has a plan for this town. He's got a plan for this state, for this country, for this world. And here's his plan. It's a plan to prosper us and to do us no harm. It's a simple plan. But some of the best things in life are simple. See, God loved us so much that he sent his only son, Jesus Christ. You know, and he looked down these 2,000 years and he just loved us. And he gave us Jesus. I guess I said earlier, there's no strings attached. It is freely given, but there is something. You know, we do have a responsibility in all this, and it's a simple one. Remember I said some of the most simple things in life are the best, are the most powerful. All we have to do is react in love. All we got to do is react to that love. All we have to do is accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and all of heaven opens up to us. See, God has provided everything. See, God's provided a great future. See, God has provided everything we need. And we can rest on all of God's promises for all of our tomorrows. So how do we just apply all this on this Father's Day as we're coming to an end? Well, I want us to realize that, you know, in heaven, we'll be praising God forever. We'll be praising God for who he is. And we'll be praising God for what he has done. And we'll be praising God for what he is going to do. But how do we apply it? Well, you see, I want us to understand that we don't have to wait until we get to heaven to do these things. I don't know if you knew this, but Emperor Constantine was baptized on his deathbed. See, he waited to heaven, till heaven was at the door to praise God. You see, he waited till heaven was reaching down and pulling him out to say, yes, Lord, yes. But we know all these years later, right, that we don't have to wait till tomorrow. And I'm going to tell you, don't. Don't wait till tomorrow. Don't wait till you're on your deathbed to say, yes, Lord, yes. Don't wait till your deathbed to get baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But man, if God's calling you to do it now. Don't wait. You can praise God right where you sit. You can accept God right where you sit. And if you want, I got water, you can be baptized right where you sit today. But man, don't wait to heaven to praise God. So is your heart today continually filled with praise to God? If not, man, if your heart isn't filled and if you're not continually praising God for what he has done with you, I'm just going to be honest, man, you're in a dangerous place. You really are. If you're not praising God in all things and at all times, then I'm going to tell you straight out, I'm not going to sugarcoat it, you are in danger of missing heaven. You see, heaven is this place of perpetual praise. So, man, you better get ready. You see, come to God this morning with your sin. See, come to God this morning with your burdens. See, come to God this morning and turn all of the junk of your life over to him. This morning, let God's grace wash over you and fill you with perpetual praise. Because, listen, I'm going to tell you something. If you can't praise God here on earth, then you're in danger of missing the blessing of praising him in heaven, the place of perpetual praise. So I beg you today, I'm begging you right now, start praising God daily in preparation for the place of perpetual praise. Amen. I pray today that, yes, praise.
Because, and I want to show you all how God works, I had no idea what you were preaching this morning when I picked up the Holy
Spirit. Oh, amen.
I didn't pray on it. I didn't think on it. I was like, let's do this.
Amen. Praise God. Yep. Praise God. God is always at work in the world. I pray today, thank you for that, for sharing that testimony of praise of what God does. He does things even when we don't know it. And he has a reason for everything. That offering prepared our hearts for the message today. So I just wanted to say, as we get ready to honor the dads this morning, I want to pray a short prayer that just says simply this, that may the word of God today, the preached word of God, which in the Church of the Nazarene, I was just telling somebody today, the reason that the pulpit is here and it's not there, or it's not there, but the reason it is here is that in the Church of the Nazarene, we believe that preaching of God's word is central to what we do. We're not buying in to the thought of a lot of the Christian world that says everything else but the preached word is important. But I want you to remember this. The Apostle Paul said to the church at Corinth, it says, how will they know if we don't tell them? And this day prepares you through the preached word, through the music, through the offering, through the prayers, to go into the world and to tell them so that they will know.